do have a couple graduates here today going through our program. I wanted to, I'm sure they are ready too. I think they are ready. Just want to let you know it's not easy to graduate with us. I don't think it's easy. You fail out. Many fail out. Some walk out. Some quit. Sometimes some of them have to be let go. There's all kinds of reasons. And then there's a few that do make it. And they do make it because of their hard work. So we're going to ask Brandy and Desi to come on up here. Which one of you want to go first? Randy's going first. All right. All right. So, yep, you're going to stand right there. I'm going to let Carla, and whatever you want to say, Carla.
Something's going to fall on my head.
No, it's not.
Nothing will fall on your head. So this is Brandy Leon, and she has been with us since August. And I'll tell you, I've been at the Lifehouse for going on 6 years, and if anybody's put a lot of hard work into one time around, it's Brandy. Brandy's done exceptionally well. She's got herself a car. She may be struggling in some areas, but that's just to be expected. Believe me, I believe that if she puts her mind to it, she'll be able to conquer anything that this world puts in front of her. She's just been a really exceptional person at the house. And not only has she done well with the house, but spiritually, I think she has grown, she's learned, she's found, and she's been redeemed. So I think that's a really important thing in our life, is to find out who is the supplier of all of our needs. And I believe that Brandy's found it in all of her heart. So I'm very proud of her.
All right.
So on the plaque, it just says that the Women's Lifehouse awards the certificate to Brandy for her dedication in completing the requirements, expectations, and the program at the Women's Lifehouse. Your desire to make changes in yourself and about yourself is an accomplishment that you should be very proud of, as we are. Your willingness to accept daily challenges and to do the hard work necessary to complete the program is a great reflection of yourself and your character. You faced many challenges, and you never gave up. And that's one thing Brandy always says. She says, I'm not going to give up.
Yeah.
So congratulations.
Yes. So, not yet. I know that they don't really want to be up here today, but I think they do want to be up here for just the moment. It's okay. It's okay. You're not going to bump anything. Couple things. It's not just Carla being a part of this. There's been a team around her as well. With both of these ladies, Lisa's here. She's our night manager. So Lisa's here. Rebecca's here. She's also the assistant director. So they've also helped with that, but not just us also, but also some of the other residents you've been with. And also the church here has been with you through this whole thing. And many of you, you've got to know some new faces and changed a few places, right? We do have do a couple of things here when they graduate. We have a let go, let God type piece here. We have a coin here. It's got the... it's got a good piece on it, but what I like about it, it's got a big butterfly on it, and what we feel like, it's just like when we're at the bottom of the barrel, we're kind of like caterpillars, but if we take the time to be in the cocoon, we can fly. Mm-hmm. And you're ready, aren't you? So I'm going to give you this, and then one of the awesome pieces I'll say, when I first met Brandy, I saw her come through, and I was like, that's a firecracker. I'm not sure... I look at some of the ladies when they come through, and I see them for a second. I'm like, I'm not sure about that one, Carla. But, I just step back, let them do their thing, and then I get them on the addictions group on Friday and through church and things like that. And one thing is I know that here is that Brandy has received the Lord through this, and so we have a cross necklace for you to remember that Jesus is the only way. He's the one that got you through, okay?
Thank you.
Congratulations. Thank you. And your family's here today, too. Congratulations. Awesome. Now we got Miss Desi. Come on up here. Don't hide. All right. Carla?
Well, I'll be the first to say, I've known Desi for quite a few years now, and this is not Desi's first attempt at the Lifehouse. The first time she was there a day. So I didn't get to know her I just got to know how she was. And at that time, she was a quitter. She gave up. But this time around, Desi never gave up. She put her mind to it. She made goals. She set her goals. She made her goals. She accomplished her goals. Desi is a changed woman from the first time I ever met her. She was in the program a second time, and she worked a little bit, but she never let go of her past. She hung on to it, but this time around, I am out of every lady that's ever went through, I'm proud of Brandy, but Desi's the person that I would be the most proud of out of any lady that's ever gone through the program. And that's because I've known her for a long time. I knew how she was before, and I know how she is now. And Desi, I'm very proud of her. She actually moved out of the Life House Friday. She got herself an apartment.
Yes.
She saved hard. She worked hard. She's grown in the job that she's at now. And she's probably at the highest level that she could possibly be at for a lean line person. But she got herself a car, got her license back. She had to pay a lot of money to do that. But I'm very proud of you, Desi, and you will go far, too. So congratulations to both of you ladies. I appreciate meeting you both, and you'd have to keep in touch with me. So, and Brandy says the exact same thing that Desi... Desi says the exact same thing that Brandy says, except for it says Desi on here. So congratulations.
Okay, so just another piece here. I'm going to give you the coin here.
Anybody got a camera? Take a picture. Take a picture.
Yeah.
Get my phone. Take a picture.
I want to tell you about my piece with Desi. Me and Desi, we bumped heads. I know she didn't like me very well when she first met me. Sometimes the ladies don't, and I'm okay with that. I'm very frank. I say, listen, if your way was working, you wouldn't be here. So it's time to try a new way. And if you want to really change, there's a new way. And Carla had called me and said, I've got a letter from Desi. I'm like, who is that? I can't remember. And she's like, well, she was this one. And she gave me this story. Oh, I remember that one. And she said, I'm prayed about it. And she goes, what do you think? I said, Carla, that girl's been here how many times? I was like, I don't know. I'm not sure. I said, you run the house. You ladies figure it out. Your team will figure it out. And so Carla said, well, I prayed about it, and I'm going to let her come back. I was like, okay, all right. Well, she has done an amazing job. I was really concerned in the beginning just as much as I was Brandy. I was really concerned about Brandy her first 2 weeks here. She's so fast. She moves faster than I do. But Desi is just the history of it, you know, and just knowing that there's a switch that had to flip, and I asked you where it was, and it was when you were away for a while. And what I want to do is, your piece is a little different, and you can look at it. There's a road that leads to the cross. I want to remind you that there is a path that always leads to success and to the peace of God, but you can't stray off that path. I want to say, little lady, your mom is awesome. Your mom is awesome. You'd be very proud of her today. So this is where we kind of got to part ways a little bit in the ministry, but it's okay. The church is always open to you. You have a family here, but you got to fly out of the nest sometime, right? And we know Brandy will be right behind you soon. And we love you guys, and you're why we keep doing this, because we do see a lot of people fail out, but you are why we keep doing this. You encourage us to keep doing it. Congratulations. All right. All right. All right. Awesome. Good. And just to let you know, afterwards, we have some cupcakes out there. So afterwards, we have some cupcakes, and so we definitely want you to stay for that. And then after service, when we get done with the service, we'll have them down here so you can kind of come down and congratulate them. So if you guys would, after services, come down here. Once we get, you know, once we start doing announcements, I'll have you come down. And y'all can come down and congratulate them as well.
And I just have one other thing to say. So as a church, we need to always remember that these ladies that come through our program, after they leave, they still need support. Mm-hmm. So continue to pray for each lady that is in our Life House and that leaves our life house, because no matter what, we all, whether we have issues that are known or unknown, we struggle in life. And not only do they need the prayers, but, you know, just continue to lift each other up on a daily basis. And if that's through prayer, just make sure you're doing it through prayer.
All right, amen. Good. And I just want to also remind those of, so the ladies from the Women's Life House, part of the program is they got to come to church. And that's some reason, some of the reasons are why some of them don't want to be a part of it. But we just believe that your way wasn't working. Time to do a new way. And I just know this, God is awesome. Is he not?
Amen.
So, yeah. Well, we are also beginning revival services today. So y'all got into the music today, and I think that is awesome. I'm going to be Romans chapter 10 today, so if you want to turn there, we're going to be there for just a short bit, what time we have left. I want to just tell you that the Word of God is His redemption story for the lost and for those that are doomed in humanity. But we praise God that He didn't throw the clay away, that He didn't throw you and I away, but that He began to remold us, as He did these two young ladies here, and He is remolding some of you. Because we don't do very good in decision making in our own life.
Amen, that's right.
I want to tell you, God loves people. I believe He loves you right where you're at, but He loves you enough not to leave you there. And He's got a journey that He has and some things for you that you can't even comprehend because you can't understand it because you're not where He needs you. He's not where He needs you to be at before He reveals it. Paul writes in this letter, the book of Romans, in verse 1, he says, "Brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved." Paul's prayer and his peace in his heart is that his own people would be saved. We as believers here at New Life Fellowship, our heart's desire should be that those of Huntington, they need to come to Christ.
Amen.
They need to come to Christ. But we have to have a heart like Paul. We have to have a heart that our heart says that my heart's desire is that those who don't know Christ will come to Christ, whether they come to New Life or not, but that they go to somewhere where they preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we see a piece here where Paul begins and says, that's where my heart is, my heart is. But he says in verse 2, "For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God." That means they have a drive for God, but he says their zeal is not based on knowledge. There's the Israelites, they wanted to be a part of God. They say they love God, but they didn't do it through Christ. And God sent Christ, Jesus Christ, as the Messiah, to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. That we could be redeemed, as the song says, that we would have the story of redemption in our own lives. They were doing it the wrong way. They thought that they could do it by works. But he said that they were doing it wrong. They were following the wrong road. He says, since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Right now, we see a lot going on in this world today that's trying to tell us how to believe. God's Word's been around for a long, long, long time. And before it was even written, God spoke Word. And spoke existence by His Word. Nothing trumps God's Word. Not your feelings, not your ideas, but God's Word is truth. Yesterday, today, and forever. And they struggled with it. But the salvation, we make it so hard. Sometimes we just make it so hard to understand how someone comes in a relationship with God. But it's not that hard. Because we've been taught so many different things that the world has tried to teach us, that we need to open our eyes and ask God to open our eyes and open our ears that we may hear the truth of the gospel, of the truth of His Word. In verse 8 he says, but what does it say? What does it say? He says, the Word is near you. You don't have to go far away to get saved. You don't have to go far away to come into a relationship with God. He said, it is near you. How is it? He says, it is in your mouth and it is in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. It's right there in front of us. Some of us feel like we need to work for our salvation. Some of us feel like we need to, be baptized for our salvation. Some of us feel like we need to do certain things before we can become and receive salvation. Some of us feel like we need to stop doing something before we get saved. And I'll tell you, that road will never, you will always have some kind of thing going on in your life. You'll never get to a place where you're perfect. That don't happen here, because we're all sinners. The difference is, are you a sinner saved by grace, saved by Jesus Christ, or are you a sinner still in your sins and you haven't professed? He says, the word is near you and it is in your mouth. It is right there in front of you. It is in your heart if you open it up. This is what the word faith we are proclaiming. He says, it is this. This is how someone comes to Christ. It is very simple. And the way it's going to explain it, it's going to be very simple. But the old heart is hard. And the mind is cluttered. And the eyes are filled with pride. He says, it's very simple, that if you confess with your mouth, I've got to confess with my mouth. I've got to be open about it. I need to confess it. Confess what? That Jesus is Lord. Very simple. Jesus is who He says He is. And I also have to believe in my heart. Believe what? That God raised Him from the dead. And you will be saved. That's in verse 9. So what does it mean? It means I confess with my tongue that Jesus is who He says He is. And I believe in my heart that He was raised from the dead. Just like the Bible tells us. And He says, if I make that decision in my life, and I open it and says, listen, I need Jesus Christ in my life. I need Him. I believe in who He is. I need that forgiveness. I want to be saved. He says this, you shall be saved. But we pile all kinds of other things on it. And it's simpler than we think. Now, there are things that God's going to do in your life as you walk and begin your new life in Christ Jesus. There is some things that He is going to make into an adjustment. But Jesus loves you right where you are. But He loves you enough not to leave you there. He'll love you in the gutter, but He's going to pull you out of the gutter if you do it His way. You see, some of our lives are still wrecked because we're still in control. It's about faith. And now all eyes are watching America right now. China, India, all the pieces of the gospel. And some of those are being persecuted still today in China. We see places over in Africa that are standing up against our own brothers here, standing up and being more stronger in the faith than we are. Because we're letting the world influence us. We're letting our opinions and our emotions influence us. And it should be, what does the Word of God say? The Word of God says this is wrong. The Word of God says we need to do that. The Word of God says other things. And the Word of God says all kinds of things. But we need to be a part and we need to listen to those things. Verse 12, it says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. The same Lord is the Lord of all and richly blesses all who call upon Him. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's what you do. You call upon the name of the Lord through you confessing through your mouth. And it's from your heart that you believe. So what do we get at salvation? That's what some people say. What's the deal? The deal is this. You get more than what you're given. Matter of fact, you don't have to give anything, really. You just have to confess. Because God did it all. And Jesus did it all for us. But at salvation, it doesn't end. There's things that God does through this time of salvation. Once we become and have a relationship with Christ, we see that our name is joined in the Lamb's Book of Life and with those others who have been saved. We see that God knows your name and He knows you. You are important to Him. He is your Father, as we sang earlier. Now you have a family that is everlasting. God has deposited His Holy Spirit into each one of you that you may serve Him in a way that is awesome that He has given to you. You have access to God through Jesus Christ, through prayer. You have a promise that God will never leave you nor forsake you. He won't forget who you are, even though at times you do with Him. He says you have a hand to hold on to when no one else will grab it. And when you're hurting, He is there. You have a hope that the world doesn't have. You have times of hope and discouragement and brokenness, loss and temptation and your tears. He is with you through all of those moments and all of those times. God is never in a hurry. He is patient with you when you're not getting it together. He listens to you. He will sit there and listen to you for hours and hours on whatever you're talking about. He will listen to you because He is an awesome Father and He is your Savior. God is patient. God has everyone. He knows everyone that is spiritually saved. He knows, and He's also given each person that has been a Christian a spiritual gift. That is your superpower, whatever that may be. That is yours. If He's given you the spiritual gift of teaching, you're an awesome teacher, those things. But God has given every believer a spiritual gift. He has deposited that into you because He made each one of you special. We also promised a resurrection, just like Jesus Christ. We have eternal life and we will never die. We are a spiritual reborn again and we will live forever. He says we have an eternal life in heaven. That's your inheritance. We have experienced God's grace. We just don't know about God's grace. We've experienced God's grace. You have a purpose now to live. That purpose is not for you now. It is for God to use you and also to affect others who are lost out here and to be building up in His kingdom. You have received and are still receiving the blessings of God once you have come to know Him. Your sins are forgiven. He doesn't see them as you do. He has cast them as far as the east is from the west. You have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. All this and much more because you got saved from your sins and from your lostness. Jesus Christ is the Savior for all people. He is ready to save each and every one of us. Reach out and grab, and He will do this. He will change your life in a different way than you can ever imagine. He will use you as a tool. Even though we're unworthy of it, He will use you to affect the awesome eternal kingdom of God. Amen. Heaven says this. In Hebrews 12, there is a group of people. The witnesses are up in heaven. They see what we do. They're encouraging us. They see how we are living here. And you are a light in the darkness. There's not enough light. But Jesus says, there's enough. My grace is sufficient. Because what it's saying, it says, we may look small, but with God, we're bigger than anything you can possibly see. God uses the small things to nullify the things that are small, that are large. He uses those that ain't so smart to be spiritually smarter than those who are worldly smart. God is all He says He is and much more. We cannot fathom all the things of God. We are minute to the comparison of the Creator of all things. We have a hard time just tying our shoes and putting our shoes on the right feet in the morning. But He's patient with us. He knows every morning when you wake up with an attitude that you have an attitude with your spouse or you have an attitude with your boss that you're getting ready to go to work. He'll walk with you. He's not going to abandon you. That's the God that we have. And He's going to nudge you from time to time and say, that's enough of that. That's enough of that. That lifestyle is not right. He's going to leave that pressure. He's going to leave that conviction on you. Why? Not because He doesn't love you, but because He does love you. Because He wants to use you for something of His purpose. And we don't always know what it is until we fall in the arms of Jesus and throw our arms at His feet and say, Lord, here I am. I'm a broken man. I do know You, but here I am now. I want to use You. And God begins to say, now we're going to be about My business. He may spend 20 years trying to fix you up, but He don't need to, does He? We just need to start giving ourselves to Him. Amen. Surrendering to Him. Don't blow 10 years of being stubborn. God's not going to leave you. You've been saved. God's not going to leave you. But we shouldn't be that project for 50 years. Just like you told the ladies, you got to fly out the nest. Now, am I concerned? Yeah, I'm concerned, but I'm also excited. I will tell you this. God will not bring up your past. But God gives us a brain to remember our past that we might not repeat the past. Amen? Because we don't want to repeat the past. We want to move forward and repeat. We see what God has done and the changes that were done in our lives. As some of you know that right now that you would not want people to know what you've done in your past. But praise God, He's forgiven you. So if nobody's bringing it up, God's not bringing it up, why are you bringing it up? Because Satan wants to bring up all that stuff. Because when he had you in his arms and he had you in his hands, that's when he was doing that nasty, ugly stuff. He loves to bring up the past. God loves to bring up you and your future. Because with God, it's much better. Satan wants to pull you back down into the murk and to the ugliness that is out there today. You know God loves you, right? Just a couple more verses and I'm going to close out. Chapter 11, verse 29 says, "For God's gifts and His call are irrevocable." Which they're non-changeable. They're non-changeable. It means you can't break the mold. You can't. If God had you for a purpose and He wants you, you cannot break that mold. But you can fight against it. And you can fight against it. And some of us do that. And we struggle with that. For God has bound all men over to obedience so that He may have mercy on them all. And God has mercy on all of us. But here we find out in this last piece of scripture here, many of you know it by memory. It says in Romans chapter 12, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God." This is the spiritual act of worship. This it is. Once you come to Christ, your body belongs to Him. Okay? Because He doesn't dwell in temples built by men. He dwells in people. Okay? He dwells in the hearts of men. But He says this, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world." That's a struggle for us that are saved. Many of us struggle. But He tells us and He encourages us that we don't need to do that anymore. So we don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. We need to be changed. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. God has a will for you in your life. He has a plan for you. The only way you're going to get on it is allow Him to do work in your life. And be open and listen to what God has for you. You can't go out here and worship and serve the devil and do what he wants. And do God too. You can't do both. When you got saved, you turned your back on that world. And you went toward Jesus Christ. And you can't get to heaven by works, and you can't get to heaven by being a good old boy. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, He says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And let me tell you what salvation looks like for the believer. The salvation looks like for the believer, it is an amazing peace. Not only do those lists that we have, that I just read a few moments ago that we have with Christ. But when it's all said and done, and this big mud ball called the world is done tearing itself up, and God begins to start anew. He says in chapter 21 of Revelations, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them, and He will be their God." And this is an awesome part. He says, "This is where He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death or mourning, crying or pain, for the order of things has passed away." And then he says in verse 27, "Nothing impure will ever enter into heaven." I don't care what the world says, nothing impure. The Bible says nothing impure. Did you hear that? Nothing impure. Anything that's impure, yeah. Nothing will enter into heaven that is impure. "Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." And the only way to get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life is to confess with your mouth that Jesus is all who He says He is, and to believe in your heart that Jesus rose from the dead. And the Bible says, "And you shall be saved." And then God puts your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the Lamb's Book of Life is the book. It is the book. Now, for those that are not saved, it is utter separation. There is total loneliness. Desolation and loneliness. There's no loved ones there that you're able to have a dinner with, and no conversation with loved ones. And there's no peace there. There's no happiness there. There's no contentment. The Bible says it's a place of gnashing of teeth. It is a place of pain and sorrow and brokenness that never heals. Did you hear that? That never heals. It's not my words. It's what's in Scripture. So we are either on two paths. One that leads to heaven. One that leads to Jesus Christ. And one that leads to eternal. The Bible says damnation. Separated from God. And the only one that can make that choice is you. It is you. We had two ladies today to graduate. One chose Jesus Christ while they were here. The other chose Jesus Christ when they were somewhere else. But that road led to here. And now that road will lead to somewhere else. But God's not done with them yet. It's only beginning. For God has something for them in the future, whatever that may be. Maybe it's speaking to other women down the road. I don't know. I pray that there'll be something where God will use them in a way that they'll use what God worked with them, and they'll be able to work with others. And you also have your own redemptive story. But if you don't have Jesus Christ, your story is not finished. There's still a moment for you to confess with your mouth and to believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is who He says He is. This is not a game. This is life. This is your life. This is your life. And you're living it. And you'll stand before God, because the Bible says that every man and every woman will stand before God and give an account of their life. And you'll either be with Jesus or you'll be alone. And Jesus says a great parable that there'll be a day of the great judgment that God will say, okay, on the right, on the left, I will put the sheep, and on the right, I'll put the sheep, and on the left, I'll put the goats. He'll separate them as a shepherd does sheep and goats. We'll be separated, those who are saved and those who are not. The Bible also says today is the day of salvation. Which means, while you got breath, you still have hope. And in this service, we give opportunity to respond to whatever message has been preached. Today it's been a message of salvation and a redemptive story. You see, this can get hard. It can start a little hard. But if you don't do what God calls you to do, it can get harder. And harder and harder, and before your heart gets calloused. Salvation isn't for you tomorrow, for you that don't know it, don't have it. Salvation is for you today. For those of you that are saved, you know where your life needs to be, and if it isn't where it needs to be, you know where you need to be. At the foot of the cross. Talking about the conviction that God's put upon your heart. And with that, we're going to stand. I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning.